Alrighty, tonight we're going to talk about pleasing the Lord. Pleasing the Lord. How many of us know that that's really our aim in life? Or should be? To please the Lord. Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, please. Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to read some verses, a lot of verses tonight that cover this particular subject, because I think it's vitally, vitally important to our growing closer to Jesus. You know, I love your prayer, Brother John Bob, that we should draw closer to Him and become more Christ-like. That's really what life is about. You know, when you boil it down, that's really why we're here. We want to please the Lord. Amen? I mean, that's a gimme. That's understood by all Christians. And we're here more to become more and more like Him. So we're going to read a verse of Scripture. Let's begin reading with verse 8. We're going to read all the way down to verse 10. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Proving, verse 10, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. What does the NIV, doesn't the NIV saying what is pleasing, finding out what is pleasing to the Lord? Isn't that what it says there? So if the Bible instructs us for us to find out what is pleasing to the Lord, then it would behoove us to do a study in Scripture about what is and isn't pleasing to the Lord. Amen? All right, so the first thing, if I want to find out what pleases the Lord, then the first Scripture that has got to come to most of our minds is Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. The faith chapter. And if somebody finds that verse, would you read verse 6 out loud, please? Beautiful. Without faith, does it say it is improbable to please God? Impossible to please God. So we to please the Father in our relationship with Him, then we have to live our lives by what? Faith. We need to live our lives by faith. Who would like to turn a chapter before chapter 11 of Hebrews? And who would like to read verse 38 of chapter 10, please? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Okay, so the just, who are the just? Haven't we been made right in the eyes of God? That makes us justified in the eyes of God by the blood of Jesus, right? Not by our good works, by the blood of Jesus. We are justified in the eyes of God. So we are the just. And how are we to govern our lives by? By the just shall live by what? Faith. So it is impossible to please God without faith. And then we are to live our lives by faith. Now, I remember a couple years ago, probably about 3 or 4 years ago, I remember watching a Star Wars movie. It was the 8th installment of 9, you know, George Lucas creations of Star Wars. And there was this, whoever saw at least one movie of Star Wars, there was this guy named Han Solo, and he was like a cynical, sarcastic, swashbuckler type of, you know, fly by the seat of your pants type of Yahoo, if that'll suffice. And he was very skeptical, you know, as you see through the movies. He didn't believe in the Force. He didn't believe in the midichlorians that consisted of the light, the bright side of the Force and the dark side of the Force. He didn't believe in all that. But then until the 8th movie, he tells someone, it is all real. It is all real. I've experienced it. You know what faith does to our lives? It helps us to say, it is real. There is a God. There are miracles. There is a Holy Spirit. There is power. Come on, somebody. And the only way to live our lives is not by reason, but by faith. Right? Because by faith, we will please God. You know, the Greeks believed that the seed of a man or the seed of a woman was their reasoning faculties. That's why they were so big on human wisdom. And Paul, writing to the Corinthians, where there were a lot of Greeks, he said, we do not put our faith in human wisdom, but he says, we trust in the power of God. Amen? In fact, he went on to say in chapter 1, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he said, for the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but it is eternal life to those of us who are being saved. Amen? So faith, how many of us know that faith makes the entire difference in our lives? Who's ever met an unbelieving person? Did Jesus mean much to that unbelieving person? Probably not. That's all they see Jesus at. He was a great teacher. He set a good moral example. He was a martyr for the faith. They don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe in his ascension, that he's now seated at the right hand of the Father. They just kind of saw him as a decent, moral human being, kind of like Gandhi was. Right? But those of us who have faith, how many of y'all know that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Amen? And that he holds everything in the universe by the word of his power. He upholds it. He is the author of life. He is the captain, our captain of salvation. Whoo, I'm kind of getting preached up here. But only faith will unlock that type of reality for us. You know, I've lived my life not knowing. I've lived my life before I was a Christian, before I knew Jesus Christ. And friends, if you're listening to this message, I want to encourage you, if you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, listen, he is calling you. He is knocking on the door of your heart for you to open your heart and say, Jesus, forgive me, a sinner. Have mercy on me. Save my soul, Jesus. Come into my life. That's all you have to say. Listen, I'm just giving you the words. You give those words that meaning in your heart, and Jesus will become your Lord and Savior. But listen, I remember before I lived my life, you know what my life was governed by? My feelings as a teenager. Oh, I'm going to have a bad day. I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. If I had a slight cough, oh, I'm going to be sick. You know, my dad used to pump all kinds of information. My dad was all about the data. And he's like, remember when I was 14, he had a dad-to-son talk. I still think back and I'm thinking, what were you thinking, Dad? Oh, gosh. He's like, son, by the time you get to be old, the world's going to end. We're going to run out of natural resources. We won't have gas. We won't have water. He was very negative all the time. And I've been reflecting a lot on people, how they live their lives without faith. You know, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2 says that not everybody has faith. Right? Faith is a gift that is given to the person whose heart is repentant and opens their heart to the Lord. Right? And so when we receive faith, then, for me, my entire outlook of life has changed. I live by a much higher plane of existence than just my fickle feelings. Well, Brother Joe, I wear my feelings on my sleeves. I wear my heart on my sleeves. Well, good for you. But how many of us know here, we've lived enough life to know that if you only live by your feelings, you're going to live, man, you're going to be scraping the bottom of the barrel of reality. Amen? But when you live by faith, baby, that's to me, you know, if you've ever flown in a plane, that's when the pilot says, we're going to elevate another 2,000 feet above sea level so that we can fly above the turbulence. Isn't that what faith is? We're flying above the turbulence. Because we know what? The promises of God are true. We might be facing a bad doctor's report, we might be facing some pain in our body that doesn't seem to go away, but in the back of our minds, the scripture keeps speaking, by his stripes, you have been healed. At times when we're afraid and we're concerned and we don't know what's going to happen, you know, Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will hold you. I will uphold you. I will strengthen you. I will be there for you. I am always with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. How many of y'all know that that makes all the difference in the world? Faith changes everything. When I mess up, when we all mess up, there's always that one verse at the back of my mind, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is what, church family? Faithful. He is faithful to forgive us of all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? How many of y'all like this preaching? This preaches, doesn't it? Doesn't this hit your spirit the way it hits mine? I feel like there are arrows of faith just being shot out into our souls. It's a much higher plane of living. That kind of life pleases the Lord. Amen? Because 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, we walk by what and not by sight? We walk by faith. Right? We walk by faith and not by sight. Faith pleases the heart of the Father. You know, one of the things that was when my daughters were young, and even to this day, they'll tell you that, you know, they'll tell you that I made mistakes as a dad, but they will tell you this, that my word was my bond. Every time I promised those girls something, I always made it a point to follow through on my promises because I knew that their image of the Father was going to be based on their image of me. And now those girls, they go for it. When it comes to the promises of God, they don't have any doubts about believing the Word of God, standing on the Word of God, praying the Word of God, because they saw their dad make promises and in time follow through on those promises. It was very important to me to be a promise, not a promise maker, but to be a promise keeper. Amen? See, that is faith. That is faith. It pleases the Lord. All right? Can we go to another one? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. We're going to read two verses of Scripture. Once again, dealing with this subject of pleasing the Lord. So let me write down, number one, what does it take to please the Lord? Faith. Boy, that's number one, isn't it? Because didn't the rest of the verses, he who comes to God must believe that he is? We pray to an invisible God, right? But how many of y'all know that you know, I once read in a book many, many years ago that said, to say that God does not exist, to say for a human to say that God does not exist, that'd be like a little microbe in a small pond to say this is all there is to reality, what's in this small little puddle. Right? It's ridiculousness. There's so much more. And faith helps us reach farther than reason ever will. Okay, so 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. Verse 9, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well what? We make it our goal to please him, to be well pleasing to him. What's he talking about? Whether we are dead or alive, our aim, our goal is to please him. Notice verse 10, what is the motivation for pleasing him? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Okay, let me break down the judgment seat of Christ. So why do we want to please the Lord? Because at the end of our lives, how many of us know there's going to be a review of our lives. A lot of Christians get scared by the word judgment. It has seems to judgment, the word in itself, in and of itself, has a negative connotation. So we think, oh, I'm going to be judged. So we think we're going to be judged negatively. But in this context, it's talking about a good judgment, or we can call it a review at the end of our lives about all that we did in our lives, how we led our lives, and what we did for the Lord with our lives. It's just a review. It's a different judgment. Listen carefully. You've got to know this. If you don't know this, you have to have this settled in your mind. This is a different judgment than the Great White Throne Judgment. The Great White Throne Judgment is for those who never gave their lives to Christ. Right? The judgment seat of Christ was a reward judgment. The Greek word for judgment seat of Christ is the Greek word bema. The bema in Greek Olympics was used of athletes, kind of like what we have in our modern day Olympics around the world. Somebody, one athlete, the one that wins it, wins their competition, first place gets what kind of medal? Gold medal. The next one gets what kind of medal? Silver. The third one gets what? Bronze, right? Well, it's going to be that way in heaven. Some believers will get a gold medal. Other believers are going to get a silver medal. Other believers are going to get a bronze medal. Some believers are going to slide into home plate with a plume of dust, and the Lord kind of looking there, and he's going to say, you're safe. But no medal. Right. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that they shall be saved, but as one escaping a burning house, all their belongings will be burnt, but they themselves will be saved. What are the quote-unquote belongings burning up? The potential rewards in heaven. Wow. This judgment is good if we choose to please the Lord. Right? There was one time that I read a poem. It was a beautifully written poem. And it talks about a person kind of reflecting back on their lives and how now that person is facing Jesus at the bema seat of Christ. And they were like, I wish, Lord, that I had not checked you here and withheld from you there. I wish I would have given my all to you in this area. I wish I would have done more in this area. How many of y'all know that all of us are going to have areas like that before the Lord on that day? Because none of us are perfect. But let me give you some good news. I ought to do a teaching on this. One of these days I'm going to do a Sunday morning series on the day, the judgment seat of Christ. One of the ways God will judge us on that day is mercifully. Because the book of Psalms says he knows that we are but dust. How many of y'all know that if it was not for the mercy of God, we would have all been consumed? Isn't that what Lamentations chapter 3 says? We would have all been consumed a long time ago. So we make it our aim to please him now. Okay, so number two, we make it our aim because we're going to be accountable for how we lived our lives. Okay? So far, so good, everybody? Go with me, please, to Romans chapter 8. You know, I'm sure I've shared with you before that I once had a dream. One of the most vivid dreams that I ever had was a very interesting dream. I was standing in line. There were several people ahead of me. And at the end of that line was Jesus. And this was not an end-of-life review. It was like a midlife review. I remember having this dream back in 2016. And, you know, back then I was not as gentle of a guy as I am now. I'm still trying to be you know, more like Christ, like all of us. I needed to be more like that. I remember one time my daughter, she was in, because my daughter's husband at that time was my youth pastor at the church. And she, we were in his office and she closed the door and she started tearing up and she said, "Dad, you're too heavy-handed from the pulpit." She said, "Dad," she told me through tears, she said, "Dad, you got to be more gentle." And it was around that time. I think the dream happened before that moment when my daughter kind of opened her heart to me like that. And in this line, I'm seeing the people. The people are like a blur. But at the end of the line, I see Jesus, you know, and whoa, you're just like, this is Jesus. This is it. And he was just a tad taller than I was. And just being in his presence, all I could feel in the dream was that I started getting all kinds of antsiness and nervousness. In fact, I'm dreaming this, I'm quenching my fist while I'm sleeping, clenching my fist because I didn't know what to do with the nervous energy. And I'm thinking all kinds of things are going through my mind. It was like torture. It was like when your mom tells you, just wait till your dad gets home. Oh, no. You know, that's torture. Because you know dad's going to follow through. And the line's getting shorter. And I'm thinking, oh, he's going to nail me on this. I know the Lord's going to nail me on that. He's going to nail me on this area. And then finally, I stand there and I'm just like, I remember just looking at him and wow, I gotta be careful. I can tear up. I looked into the Lord's eyes and he looked at me and he said two words. He said, "Be gentle." And I woke up and that was the dream. After that, I've made it a point to be more gentle. How many of y'all know that to Jesus, that's important? You know, for me, especially being a minister and having a platform, kind of like the platform that I have, some of these things are hard to talk about, sorry. That to please Him, I have to make some life changes. How many of us know that sometimes to please the Lord, we have to make some life changes? We have to change behaviors. We have to make some changes and adjustment. And thankfully in that dream, it was just a midlife adjustment. It was not the end of my life to where I still had an opportunity to make the changes necessary that I needed to make. Anyway, okay, that's enough of that. Let's get back to the scripture. Romans chapter 8. Let's see here. Verse 7, Romans 8, 7, because the carnal mind is enmity or is at odds against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot what? Cannot please God. If I'm in the flesh, can I please God? No, because my mind is against the law of God. I'm disobeying. I'm transgressing. Okay, fellow believers, loving believers, imperfect like me. Okay, how many of y'all have sinned knowingly? You knew before you did what you did that it was wrong. You knew that it was a sin, and somehow you still followed through. I'll raise both hands to that. Who hasn't? That's called a transgression. That is violating a known law of life. The definition of a transgression. Literally, transgress means to go across. Or go across a boundary. So anyway, when we act out of the flesh, that cannot please God. Right? We have to keep that in rein. But how many of us know that the flesh is a formidable contender in all of us. right? Didn't Paul the Apostle say in Romans chapter 7, just a chapter before, he said, the thing that I want to do, I don't end up doing. The good that I want to do, I don't. I do the thing that I don't want to do. Who's found that out in your life? I have. Who's found that what Paul said, that every time I set out to do good, sin is nipping at my heels? We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. Who knows the difference? The fact that I sin does not make me a sinner. The fact that I'm a sinner makes me sin. Right? Religion will say, oh, you did something wrong, then you're a sinner. No, we're all sinners. Right? And because I'm a sinner, I sin. I've told you before, I'm going to tell you again, God does not call us to be sinless, but He does call us to sin less. To have my mind ruled by the Holy Spirit, right? Because it says here, verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Right? So it's important then that we be spiritually minded. Greek word phronema. Phronema. Okay, we're almost done. Phronema means a mindset. Basically, what are we setting our thoughts on? Are we setting our thoughts on good things? You know, sometimes when I drive up to the gym, I have an option to listen to secular music, and I'm like, More than not, often than not, I'll play a worship song in my car, and I'll just sing to the Lord. Because that is much better for me in the long run, right? It sets my mind on the right track early in the morning. And I'll just be in my can't carry a tune type of voice. I'll just be singing to the Lord. Or sometimes, you know, a hymn will bubble up. A couple weeks ago, I was, you know, just driving. I went over to McDonald's in Shelbyville to get me breakfast. And all of a sudden, this song, Glory Came Down, or Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul. And I just started singing it, you know, and I felt like that was, you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit will put little songs in your heart. Isn't that what the Bible says? To be filled with the Spirit, making melodies in our hearts to the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, right? 19. So sometimes He'll do that, but that helps us to keep our minds above the fray. All right, how many of y'all were blessed with the teaching of the Word? Good, thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this time together. Father, we pray that You help us to please You at all times, Father. Help us to give careful thought to our steps, to our thoughts as well. Father, help us to be pleasing in everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.